So just to preface, I know that throughout the course of this last year, the course of everybody who are parishioners here knowing Father Conway, you've known him as Father Conway. Through the course of the homily, I'm going to call him Dennis because that's how I knew him. And I've missed saying my friend's name. There is kind of an interesting thing in the cultural life of priests. When you're ordained, you're given a manila envelope, and in it is a page with your first assignment on it, and then after that is your funeral planning document. And it becomes a point of conversation every so often. You have to list three priests who you'd have preach your funeral. And so we talk about that as priests. And every so often, Dennis and I would have that conversation. And I can remember clear as day, several years ago, we were sitting in the Linmar Drive Rectory in the den, and he looks at me, and he goes, "You're not on that list. You know me too well." But we don't always get what we want. Dennis and I were friends for close to 15 years, but a lot of folks don't really know how that started. And in millennial terminology, it'd probably be better to say that the first couple of years when we were at Xavier, it was better to say we were frenemies. Because he was the master of technology in the theater at Xavier. And I was in campus ministry. And at that time, campus ministry would take cords from the theater. And Dennis was always particular. And so it drove him crazy when I would go into the theater, take the cord, and then not put it back the right way. But very quickly, we found what we had in common, what became the anchor point for our friendship through the course of all those years. It was Jesus, and specifically it was the priesthood. I was in my first year of seminary. Dennis was kind of wrapping up his time at Xavier, and he reached out to me. Sent me an email and said, "You know, I'm thinking about priesthood." And so we emailed back and forth about it a little bit. And down the course of the years, that was what we kept coming back to. And so, Dennis wanted to be a priest. That was his life. What he wanted was to be remembered too as a good priest, not for his ego, but because that was all that mattered in his life. He was incredibly faithful to his life of prayer. It's one of the beautiful insights that you get living with other priests, seeing from the outside looking in what their relationship with Jesus was. Now, he was a night owl and I am a morning person. And so we would joke that generally when he was coming out of the chapel at our house late into the night, early in the morning, getting ready for bed, I'd be going in, getting up early. But his fidelity to the priesthood, certainly to so many of you as his people, but then in the hidden moments of saying yes, was apparent. One small thing that has always been an example, a reminder, a witness to me, was how faithful he was to celebrating Mass on his day off. Generally, if the weather was nice enough, and even sometimes when it wasn't, he'd go golfing, and he'd come back, and I'd hear him, even before he would go up and shower, clean up from the day. He'd go down the stairs, and I'd hear the door to the chapel close. About 30 minutes later, it'd open up again. That is, to me, a powerful image of who he was and the way that he lived his priesthood. It was real. Then, as we had the chance to serve together, I know there were moments where we would drive each other a little crazy. The rectory was a school of love, as we often called it. That fraternal charity that priests are called to have for each other. And he took that seriously, too. One of the small ways I would see that, he loved cooking. He was a total foodie. And he loved entertaining. My stomach's a little complicated. He would always take the time to look for a different dish, make adaptations to what he cooked, to make sure that when he was entertaining, I could be included. Now, by this point in the homily, Dennis would probably be getting a little bit annoyed, going, "You're talking more about me than Jesus." But I think this is important because love, fidelity to Jesus, fidelity to our vocation, looks like something. It looks like the thousand small things that make up a life lived well. Going and celebrating Mass before cleaning up. Making sure your friend can be included. Grace builds on nature, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. And so it's good for us to remember those good memories, the small things that made Dennis Dennis. Because each of us is a gift to one another. Unique, unrepeatable, intended and willed by God. And so each of us, Dennis included, reflects Jesus in a way that no one else in all of human history ever will. And then we face our grief. And we have to face it. We can't pretend that it's something that we work through and then just put on the shelf and go, "Well, that was then." The fact that we are still grieving is not a failure to have somehow healed, but is a mark of still loving, is a mark of still having a heart that the Lord draws close to. Dennis's favorite philosopher is a philosopher named Wittgenstein, and I don't know if he ever managed to weave Wittgenstein into a homily, but if not, now it's been done. Wittgenstein's whole focus of philosophy is about the power as well as the limits of language. This reality of Dennis's death, the manner of his death, is a manifestation of the limits of our language. Not just to talk about it with each other, but even with God. We come to him with this wordless confusion. And God in his greatness understands. A line Dennis and I would talk about a lot from the Old Testament, because that was his real love, was the Old Testament. There's a line from Jeremiah 17. And it's often translated in a specific way that obscures what it's actually saying. Often it's translated as, "The heart is deceitful above all things." But the way the Liturgy of the Hours, the way the breviary, the prayer that priests pray daily, five times, the way it translates it is the way Dennis and I preferred we would talk about this. More torturous than all else is the human heart. And who alone has known it? There's this ache that is expressed in those words. And if it stopped there, it would be utterly hopeless. But the very next line is God speaking. "I, the Lord, I alone know it." This is the reality of being human in its fullness, that our hearts are mysteries unto themselves. We don't understand Dennis's death. I shared what I shared before, because in no way was it a lack of faith. In no way was it a lack of his love for Jesus. In no way was it a lack of his love for priesthood. In no way was it a lack of love for his family, for his friends, for his people. It is that place of mystery, of the torturousness of our hearts. And who alone has known it but God? God, who is the Word, is beyond our limitations. So wherever our love for Dennis has us right now, God understands, knows, is intimate with our heart. The beautiful line in the second reading, Revelation, continues the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah sees the destruction of the web of death that has been woven over all of humanity since the fall, the source of that torturousness of our heart. But God has more to give through Revelation than even Isaiah saw. Because while Isaiah could see a defeat, the one who sits on the throne, Jesus says, "I make all things new." He isn't just getting rid of death. He is taking it, going into it, and making it something more than we can imagine. And so we don't run away, hide away the torturousness of our heart. We let the Word come close. This is why he doubles down in the gospel, because it is how intensely he desires to be close to us, so close that he is our food. Dennis's favorite word in Greek, because he had a favorite word in Greek, was esplankton, which he'd probably correct my pronunciation of it, but he would occasionally write it on my stuff. It drove me nuts I still have a box from moving that has it written in highlighter. But it is the word that is used when Jesus' own heart is tortured, is gripped. It's his very guts are turned over. It's when Scripture says he's moved with pity. Dennis and I would always say that's just such a domesticated way of saying it. Jesus' heart is twisted, his guts upturned. This is the God who meets us. This is the God who meets us today in the Eucharist, as we've met him so many times through the course of this year and will continue to meet him. So if we find ourselves with an intensity of our grief, then that's where Jesus is, with an even greater intensity ready to receive us. In a particular way, if you find yourself in a place where you feel the darkness closing in, being definitive, where you consider making a final decision about your life, let him come there. Seek help. Let people love you. Allow God to turn what could be a period into a comma. But don't be ashamed of the torturousness of your heart, because God knows it and is not ashamed of it, but loves us there and desires to make all things new. So as we continue to pray for Dennis, to pray for his family, to pray for one another, we let Jesus minister to us, to our hearts, to join ours to his own, until we are indeed in that place where death has been torn away, where all things are new, where we pray to be reunited with our friend Dennis. And until then, we walk, letting Jesus be with us, meeting our hearts as they are, and loving us perfectly in the midst of them. Mis queridos feligreses hispanos, quiero hablarles directamente porque Dennis los quiere mucho. Ha sido un placer servirte este año, y gran parte de cómo te he servido vino de su amor muy real por ti. De una manera particular, era su comprensión y deseo que nuestra comunidad hispana no solo tuviera las cosas a un lado o cuando fuera conveniente, sino que ustedes sean hijos de Dios e iguales feligreses aquí dignos de pleno cuidado pastoral y atención. Sigamos orando juntos y recibimos ese regalo del amor de Dios, incluso mientras oramos por el feliz descanso de Dennis. Eternal rest granted him, O Lord, and the perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Let us stand. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for his church. Confident that God hears the voices of those who trust in the Lord Jesus, we join our prayers to his. In baptism, Dennis received the light of Christ. Scatter the darkness now and lead him over the waters of death. We pray to the Lord. Our brother Dennis was nourished at the table of the Savior. Welcome him into the halls of the heavenly banquet. We pray to the Lord. Our brother Dennis shared in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, leading God's people in prayer and worship. Bring him into your presence, where he will take his place in the heavenly liturgy. We pray to the Lord. Many friends and members of our families have gone before us and await the kingdom. Grant them an everlasting home with your Son. We pray to the Lord. Those who trusted in the Lord now sleep in the Lord. Give refreshment, rest, and peace to all whose faith is known to you alone. We pray to the Lord. For the family and friends and parishioners of Dennis who seek comfort and consolation, heal their pain and dispel the darkness and doubt that come from grief. We pray to the Lord. We are assembled here in faith and confidence to pray for our brother Dennis. Strengthen our hope so that we may live in the expectation of your Son's coming. We pray to the Lord. Lord God, giver of peace and healer of souls, hear the prayers of the Redeemer Jesus Christ and the voices of your people, whose lives were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Forgive the sins of all who sleep in Christ and grant them a place in the kingdom. Through Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. Having received the sacrament of salvation, we implore your kindness, O God, for Dennis, your servant and priest, that as you made him a steward of your mysteries on earth, so you may bring him to be nourished by their truth and reality as unveiled in heaven. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just a word of thanks to our choir this morning, to our altar servers, to the other ministers, those who spent a lot of time preparing for today. Very, very grateful for your ministry and the beautiful offering of prayer that you have made. I just want to mention three saints. So one is Saint Teresa of Avila. She's a beautiful saying. She experienced Jesus saying to her, "I would create the whole universe again just to hear you say that you love me." This is the value of our lives. So even in our worst moments, to look and to go, all Jesus wants from me is to hear that I love him. That's why we exist. And so to allow the reality of that love to enfold us, to encourage us in our perseverance, to get us through those darkest of moments, and to remember how much the Lord delights in us, even when we may struggle to delight in ourselves, to love ourselves as he would desire. Second, St. John Vianney said that the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus Christ. So many of you are gathered here today not because of tragedy, and I want to be very, very clear on that, but because of the love of Jesus Christ through the priesthood of Father Dennis Conway. Yes, we can't ignore the tragic, but we also do not allow it to define the reality of God's love that is stronger than death. And so to just rest in that truth that all of you who so beautifully came today to pray are here ultimately because Jesus loved you through Father Conway's priesthood. And then finally, St. Gregory the Illuminator, Father Conway's absolute favorite saint, and actually a good model for us right now. He's the first evangelist to part of the Middle East. And you may have noticed, if you've been up on the third floor, that our conference room that's going to be up there is called the St. Gregory Conference Room. And so that is just a little nod. There will be an icon of St. Gregory the Illuminator that will be in there as a reminder, because these will be the places where meetings like pastoral and finance councils take place, things that really shape and determine the mission. And so be a good opportunity for us, just when we see that, to remember to ask for St. Gregory's intercession for us as good and faithful evangelists, and also to remember to pray for Father Conway and for his happy repose.